Tonight we're going to talk about who carries who. Isaiah 46. And the question is this. Do you carry your God, small g, or does God carry you? Who do you put your faith in, your trust in? In way of introduction, I would like us to think of two verses. The first one's found in Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's Satan. He is the prince of power of the air. He will put thoughts in your mind to come up with idols. He will put thoughts in your mind to think that you're God. He will put thoughts in your mind to come up with another religion. He'll put thoughts in your mind that'll wrestle with the truth. And if you allow it, and people allow it, it will displace the truth. And people will fail to come to the truth, and they will spend an eternity in hell. So, a man's idea of God basically leads to his idea of truth. You could have it Satan's way, or you could have it God's way. Isaiah 46 talks about this. It's another satirical type of a look at idolatry. So we understand that all these struggles in our life are spiritual issues. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Those are the instruments of it. It's the thing behind it. Remember in Daniel, how Daniel prayed, and he was praying for 30 days. And God sent an answer. And the angel of God was fighting the prince of Persia. And then Michael came in and intervened. It was angel against angel. Folks, prayer moves things. Prayer moves God to answer to us. Answer for us, not answer to us, but answer for us. As Isaiah writes to the Israelites about idols. You know what idols are? They're dead weight. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 through 2 says this. Wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Chapter 11 talks about all these people who had faith. Looking ahead to Christ. They didn't even see the promise in person. Yet they had faith and they did all these incredible things. And it says, we're serving the same God. So, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? Every weight. That would have been great instruction to follow for the Israelites. They should have gotten rid of all their idols. Folks, it's great instruction for us today. We need to get rid of all the things that separate us from God. We need to get rid of all the things that basically take us and take priority away from God. God should be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things be added unto you. So lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, once you get in a habit, it's hard to get out of. You know, you can get in the habit of sin. But God is greater. He giveth more grace. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And time after time in Isaiah, we see that Isaiah is telling the nation of Israel, look to God. Folks, we need to look to God also. And everything about God is found in His Son, Jesus Christ. Then looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So as we look in chapter 46, we see God's judgment and God's look at idols. Verses 1 and 2, He comes to this, I'm just messing up, okay? Go. Idols are dead weight. Just like this thing if you don't use it. Okay? Just like us if we don't serve God. Idols are dead weight. In verses 1 and 2 it says here, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast. Now, their idols are these idols that were making to Baal and making to Nebo. And upon the cattle, your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. Now, we went in the previous chapter about what their idols were. Some of them were wood, some of them were gold. You make a statue out of gold, it's heavy. You can't carry it yourself. You have to have a beast of burden to carry it or to put it on a wagon. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. You need to see this in light of Cyrus. Okay? You need to see this in light of Cyrus. Cyrus was leading the Medo-Persian Empire to conquer the Babylonians. Baal and Nebo were the two great gods of the Babylon. And they did not deliver them. They could pray all they wanted to, but nothing's going to stop God's judgment. Think back in the days of Elisha. Okay? When there was the contest between the 400 prophets of who? Baal. Okay? And Elijah himself. And what happened? Baal failed them, but God delivered. So here we see here, in verses 1 through the first part of 2, all we see is that they just take up space in the moving van. They just take up space in the moving van. Okay, so now let's talk about this. You go all the way back to Genesis, the Tower of Babel. Where was that located? Modern Babylon or Iraq. Shinar, the land of Shinar, Babylon. All this stuff comes from the same place. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Man's idols are just brought down and changed their names. They're changed their names. Baal is short for Baal, okay? Baal is translated as Lord or owner. Now think about this. Baal is also the root for Beelzebub. Beelzebub is another name for who? Satan. You know what? Satan wants to be your Lord. Satan wants to be your owner. We're supposed to lay aside what? The sin that so easily besets us and takes us off track. See, Satan does that. He dangles that carrot out there and says, follow me. We either follow right or we follow wrong. Names are given that have Baal in them. You know the other name for Belteshazzar? Daniel. You go into chapter 1 of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar renamed Daniel Belteshazzar, which means Baal's prince. See, the world wants to rename us. The world wants to take its gods and put it on us. No different than what those worlds back then were trying to do to the nation of Israel. And folks, Baal to the Greeks was Zeus. Baal to the Romans was Jupiter. Remember in Lystra, Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas come in, they find this impotent man, can't walk. Paul says, rise up and walk. And everybody thought that they were what? Gods. They called Barnabas Jupiter and they called Paul who? Mercury. Well, that's Nebo. That is Nebo. Nebo means speaker or prophet. And remember why they called Paul Mercurius? Because he was what? He was the chief speaker. See, there's a lot of people that come up to the people of God and they try to put their worldly idea into it. Baal was nothing. Nebo was nothing. They didn't save the Babylons, and they won't save you. They haven't worked in the past. They're myths. They're not truth. They're lies from the father of lies, who's Satan. Okay? When we talk about Nebo, there's three men, mighty men, in the Babylonian Empire that have Nebo in their name. Nebuchadnezzar. Nebo will protect the prince, or gives the prince the crown, is what Nebuchadnezzar means. Nebuzaradan, who was a general under Nebuchadnezzar, says that Nebo has provided a seed or an offspring. Nebuchadnezzar, if you go back into Jeremiah, he's one of the captains of the host or the princes of Babylon, basically says that Nebo delivers. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These dudes, these names, were just the instruments of the principality or the power behind them. No different. From the beginning of creation, it's been the same way. Okay? From the beginning of mankind, not creation. So what's the issue here? In verse 2, they can't move or deliver themselves. You know, people just flock if they see a tear come on a statue. People flock if they sense one of these statues and these religions move. It's just this. It's Satan putting up a counterfeit, folks. Right. Baal didn't save anybody. He can't, because he's from Satan. There's a lot of people out there speaking in the name of Baal, being Nebo. And you know something? They have a louder voice than Christians today. We need revival. Amen. We need people to turn away from this and lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience our race. So, in verses 1 and 2, we see that idols are dead weight. They don't move. They have to be carried from point to point around. In verses 3 through 6, idols have short existences, or they are temporary. See, the problem is that before Israel goes into captivity, they say, hey, you're going to go into a land that has these gods. Don't follow them. They're not going to do you no good. Just because they conquer you doesn't mean that those gods worked. It's going to be God that puts you in captivity. It's going to be God that takes you out. This hasn't happened yet. You know, it's interesting that we have the answer before the event. The Bible is our answer before we enter into a trial or enter into. We see eternity the way it is. So verses 3 through 6 says this: hearken unto me, O house of Israel, or Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to the hoarheads will I carry you. I have made and I will hear, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. What was the verse? What was the thing in verse 2? They won't deliver. What's God saying here? I'll deliver you. Back in Judges, he sent a deliverer. Besides me, there is no Savior. There is no one other than me. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh of the god and they fall down. Yea, they worship. This morning I was reading in my devotion in Judges about this family in Dan who had 200 shekels and he took 20 of it and made it an idol. And then he made a ephod, like a priest. And then he was trying to do this priest thing himself. And then this Levite comes in and he says, hey, I'll hire you to be my priest. You know, there's a lot of hired people out there doing what they call the work of God. But they're just following the money. And so here it is. They lavish gold out of the bag, weigh silver. Here's a great example of it. And weigh silver in the balance. They hire a goldsmith and make it a what? God. Remember, small g. Well, I'll make a picture of something that's religious in the Bible. The nation of Israel in the wilderness turned her back on God and started rejecting. God sent these fiery serpents in the camp to judge them. And what they did is they said, how do we get rid of this judgment? And they make a brazen serpent and they put it up on a stick. And you know what happened? It gave them that deliver. But then that took the place. That took the place of God. And they started worshiping this thing. They called it Nehushtan. It had to be destroyed. The Ark of the Covenant became an idol. Because they were looking at the thing instead of the God. And they took it out, thinking that it was going to give them victory over the Philistines. And what happened? It was taken. Back in 1 Samuel. In a corrupt priesthood. Just like we've been studying about on Malachi. So you could take good things and make them idols. Anything out of balance is bad. Anything that doesn't point us to God is bad. So idols have short existences. They say, they make it to the God, they fall down, yea, they worship. See, the problem is, they're not like God. In verse 5 it says, to whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Well, it doesn't. God here in verses 3 and 4, he says, look, he says, I present before your birth. I saw you when you were born. I saw you during your entire life. I saw you in your old age. And I saw you in your death. I was there. Where was that idol? Oh, it's just temporary. It might have been at this point of your life. See, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him, and by Him was not anything created. Who will you liken this to? Folks, it's God alone. Amen. It's God alone. See, the only way we can know about God is through Jesus. Don't substitute someone's book for the Bible. It becomes an idol. Don't substitute some regimen for true worship. It becomes an idol. See, we need to worship God in, as Christ said it to the Samaritan woman, in what? Spirit and in truth. This should be our call. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. You won't find the power of His resurrection in idolatry. It's not there. They're dumb, dead weight. In the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. You know why? Because God will take you through it. You could pray to some statue all you want. And it might give you some hope in your mind, but it won't give you the grace that you need to get through the problem. Being made conformable unto His death. Paul says this, he says, I die daily. I die daily. See, in verses 3 and 5, he says, there's none like God. I was before you, and I'll be after you. And those idols, they'll rust and they'll corrupt, and termites will get to them. You might lose them. You know, you lose a key fob. Okay, you might lose them. And see, here's the point. What about an idol? The created has to make it, not the creator. The created man has to make them. See, and here we see in verse 6, it says, it's made out of what man can afford. No, a rich man will have rich idols. A poor man will have poor idols. But the point is that they all have their own idols. And you know whatever, kid, it doesn't matter how lavish you make it. You still cheapen God. Because He's not God. The idol is not God. So idols are what? They're dead weight. They have to be carried around. The second thing is idols have short existences. They are not eternal. They change their names. Bel to Zeus and Zeus to Jupiter. And it's changed their names. But it's always the same thing. Idols are no help. See, God just keeps on saying this over and over again. You know why? They don't get it. How many times do we have to understand God's truth or hear God's truth before we start doing it? In verse 7, this makes no sense. They bear Him upon the shoulder. They carry Him, set Him in His place, and He standeth. Leave town. What do you have to do? Pick Him up. Move over here. Boy, that's really a dynamic relationship, isn't it? Who's putting all the effort into it? The person that worships it. See, God puts all the effort in us. It's called grace. But it says that He standeth. From His place shall He not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto Him, yet He cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. See, we're always in God's presence because God is omnipresent. However, here we see that idols must be carried to be in man's presence at that time. Oh, when you get tired of them, what can you do? Put them in the closet. You get tired of God, He's still God. You could try to put God in the closet, it's still there. And every time you open the door, or every time you go, there's God. The second thing is, He cannot hear prayer. Why? Because He's inanimate. Why? Because He was made by man. Why? Because He's an instrument of Satan. And here in the third part, it says, yet He cannot answer nor save him out of his trouble. He cannot deliver from trouble. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 18 says this, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image. And a teacher of what? What? A teacher of who? Lies. That the maker of his work trusteth therein to make. Everybody say it. Dumb idols. You got something in your life that's a dumb idol? Get rid of it. Get smart. Okay? Get smart. Not the TV show. Okay? Lastly, idols make you forget God. Here are six things that idols will make you forget God on. First of all, idols make you act like children. You know what God's purpose in your life is? Is to be conformed to His image. You know what God's purpose for your life is? To be made into the full stature of Christ. That's God's purpose. Idols make you act like little children. Verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves what? Men. If you're following idols, you're following something that's weak. You're following something that's childish. You're not acting as men. Paul talks about to the church at Corinth. He says, stand fast, quit you like what? Men. Okay? And that's mankind, folks. That's being an adult. Okay? Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. So first thing is, idols make you act childish. The second thing is, idols make you ignore the only God. In verse 9, remember the former things of old. If you remember them, you'll find who? God. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. I am God. I am God. There's no one like me. Follow me. See, what happens is when you put idols in front of God, this is what it makes you ignore. It makes you ignore the reality of all the fulfilled prophecies of the Old Testament and all the fulfilled prophecies of God's Word in the New Testament. And therefore, you'll be ignorant of the stuff that's coming. That's what Israel was. You know why they went into captivity? Because they didn't listen. You know why we're in the problems that we're in now? Because we don't listen. Secondly, you ignore the results of all the miraculous deliverances. What about the Red Sea? Did any dumb idol do that? No. What about, the Assyrian army, the 185,000 of them that just kind of went away? Who did that? God did. And so idols make you ignore the only God because it makes you ignore the results of the miraculous deliverance. Because it says, remember the what? The former things of old. And you ignore the reign of all the blessings that God had given them. God told them, He says, I bear you on eagle's wings. You're the apple of my eye. Remember David and Goliath? Remember all those things in the past? Remember how did you get the land in the first place? Remember all that stuff? You know, you turn your back on God, you'll forget all the stuff that God had, and then you'll find out that God, you don't think that God loves you anymore. That God doesn't care for you anymore. And you go right down the problem of Malachi. Thirdly, idols make you ignore the truth of God. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient things, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all in my pleasure. See, what happens is if you turn your back on God, you start acting like children, you'll turn your back on God. And when you turn your back on God, you won't listen to what God's counsel is. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your what? Own understanding. So idols make you ignore the truth of God. Idols make you ignore the messages from God and the messenger from God. They're ignoring Isaiah. He's seen God. He saw him high and lifted up. He saw the same that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. You know why? Because God doesn't change. Verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Who's that? Cyrus. This hasn't happened yet, but it's going to, and God doesn't want you to forget it. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also what? Do it. You're not going to stop God from doing what He's going to do. You know why? He's God. And you're not. We're not. So idols make you act like children. Idols make you ignore the only God. Idols make you ignore the truth of God. Idols make you ignore the messages from God. Idols make you not receptive to God. It's like this. Now, there's a lot of people out there, see no God, hear no God. Have we done anything like that this week? Had an opportunity to witness somebody, we didn't do it? Think about that. Think about that. Hearken unto me. Oh, here's a word we heard about Sunday night. Ye what? Stout-hearted. Your words are what? Stout against me. You know, Israel didn't learn. They didn't learn. A couple hundred years down, they're doing the exact same thing. They rebuilt the walls. They rebuilt the temple. Temple worship was going on back there. Now they're back in the same old path. It says, hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are what? Far from righteousness. You know, I find it interesting when you read in this account of Judges. When you talk about the wilderness and the golden calf that Aaron made. They made a feast to the Lord, but worshipped the calf. They made a feast. They made a commitment to God, but they did it with an idol. And that's wrong. And what happens? You're far from righteousness. You're far from righteousness. Idols will make you not receptive to God. And lastly, idols make you ignore the ever available salvation of God. In verse 13, I bring near my righteousness. Call on Him while He is what? Near. You that are far off and you that are near, there's salvation. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. Have you ever felt that God's just so far away? It's not God's problem. It's our problem. It's not God's problem. It was Israel's problem. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Have you ever thought about how close God is to you right now? Seek Him when He can be what? Found. You need to be looking for Him. Hear His words. You need to be listening to Him. We need to be listening to Him. So we started off with this, and we'll end with this. Are you carrying your God, small g, or is the true God carrying you? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you have a relationship with Him? He will carry you. Okay? Or are you doing some sort of substitute? That's Satan. Because Satan wants to put a substitute into any part of our religious life, our spiritual life. So what is it tonight, Christian? Are we holding on to things, carrying our own idols, thinking that that's going to be good enough to get us to heaven? Or are we listening to the true God that's the only way to get to heaven? His name's Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Let's stand. Hey, Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Me this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. Just help us, Lord, just to be responsive to You, Lord. That we just turn and get rid of all this weight. And Lord, that we just run the race, Lord, unhindered, Lord, and unencumbered, Lord, by Your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.